And the gospel text for today, a text that we often hear in the context of funerals or memorial services, words then that speak comfort to all who believe. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." This too is for us the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it is by now an open secret that I am an undercover agent for the grammar police. Thanks to the internet, I now have an official badge. I feel very proud of having this badge. This badge is emblazoned with the Grammar Police's motto, "To correct and serve." I was about to place my badge in my wallet so that I could flash it around like the detectives on cop shows do, when one clever friend observed, "Shouldn't that read 'to correct and to serve'?" Smart aleck. So today's assignment for you, rookies on the Grammar Police Force, is to be on the lookout for renegade mixed metaphors, which can be readily identified by their succession of incongruous or ludicrous comparisons. For instance, back in 2008, then-candidate Barack Obama tried to deny that he was, quote, "green behind the ears." I think more frequent washing might take care of that. And to show that egregious metaphor mixing is a bipartisan affair, Rush Limbaugh is purported to have said, "I knew enough to realize that the alligators were in the swamp and it was time to circle the wagons." I rather regret that he appears to have circled the wagons in time to avoid the alligators. Well, we'll let that be. Now, I don't know who's responsible for this item that appeared in the Detroit News, but I think it's a gem. The writer said, "I don't think we should wait until the other shoe drops. History has already shown what is likely to happen. The ball has been down this court before, and I can already see the light at the end of the tunnel." That's a lot of mixed metaphors. Of course, as one writer has noted, in most cases, mixed metaphors are accidental, and the haphazard juxtaposition of images is likely to be more comical or perplexing than revealing. A good metaphor, by contrast, reveals something true by comparing two unrelated elements. The source of 1 Peter, whatever author this may be, whether Peter himself or someone writing in his name, must have been something of an expert dialectician and grammarian, because he masters his metaphors without managing to mix them. And in so doing, this author tells us something about who we are as the people of God. And he wants to remind us of who we are as a people of God, because that author knows that we have to be those people in a world that is often hostile to us and to our message. If you were attending closely to the reading, you probably recognize that there are three main groups of images in that passage from 1 Peter. The passage begins with images from infancy and then moves on to images of stonework and construction and ends with images of peoplehood and priesthood. Though I think we run the risk of having an English 101 lesson, I actually want to explore each of these groups of images briefly in order to come to both an understanding and an appreciation of who we are as God's people, a people created and called to serve God's purposes. And I want to do so because we, like the original recipients of this letter, know that being a Christian in contemporary society isn't always easy. And it isn't easy for us either because there's the temptation to compromise our Christian identity in a culture that is often accommodating, or on the other hand, we find it harder to be a Christian in that same culture that is increasingly hostile to overt Christian identity. Who then are we as God's people? Well, first, the images of infancy. Like newborn infants, the writer says, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Maria and I had a visit recently from my sister and her four-month-old daughter. Let me just say that little Aubrey has quite the appetite. I'm afraid that she's going to be like her older brothers, who have apparently never missed a meal. Little Aubrey longs for her mother's milk. And that's the point. As the people of God, we need to be like infants who crave being fed. It's not that we're immature or just starting out in the faith, though those may be the case. The point is that, like infants, we're to long to be fed. We're to desire that nourishment that comes from what 1 Peter calls the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God. But here it's important to note that the milk of which Peter speaks is not only spiritual food for the soul. This milk also abundantly nourishes the intellect. The word of God, in Greek logos, is also logikos. It's logical or rational. The word of God isn't simply food for the soul, it's also food for thought. And so if you and I are going to grow into salvation, what we Methodists call growing in grace, then we need to be fed by God's Word. And like any human feeding, it has to occur on a daily basis. We need to be fed daily by reading and studying and reflecting on God's Word, both in our homes and weekly in our worship. We need to feed on the Word as it comes to us in both sermon and sacrament. And we receive that word even as we live it out. We talked last week about the importance of being a particular community of people, a people of God's word. And we receive that word when we gather together with fellow Christians. In all of these ways, and in many others, Jesus offers himself to us as our food. But then the metaphors shift. And secondly, then, the images of stonework and construction. For the same Lord who is our food is also the, quote, living stone to whom we are to come. That is, Jesus is the cornerstone of our lives, the very foundation on which you and I are called to build lives of holiness and righteousness. Now, those are churchy words, aren't they? But they mean to become godlike. We heard in John how Jesus says, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. That's what it means to live a life of holiness and righteousness. And that's what growing in grace is all about, becoming more and more like Jesus in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. Like Jesus, who is the chosen and precious cornerstone, you and I are called to be like living stones built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, to you and me, that phrase living stones may itself be a mixed metaphor. It is at least a paradox, because you and I know well from our science classes that stones, by their nature, are not living. But as John Eliot explains, in antiquity, objects that were perceived as being firmly rooted in the earth, like stones, were often referred to as living. So for us as God's people, to be living stones means to be deeply rooted in the life of God, to be in the Father as Jesus was in the Father. You and I are called to be deeply rooted in Christ, to go to those places where Jesus says that he is going. But that isn't always easy in a culture that is increasingly suspicious of, if not outright hostile to, Christianity and its claims. Following Jesus means sometimes going against the grain, or, quite consciously to mix the metaphor, to swim upstream. But if you and I are rooted in the life of God, if you and I are rooted in the Word of God, if you and I are rooted in that particular community of people known as the church, if we are rooted in worship, if we are rooted in the sacraments, if we are rooted in service and mission, then we allow God to build us up as that spiritual house. We allow God to use us as priests. Which brings us to that third set of images, the images of being priests and people of God. You are a chosen race, Peter tells his audience. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, Peter says, but now you are God's chosen people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And since we're being attentive to the rules of grammar this morning, did you note the tense of the verbs? It's present tense. You are. The author is reminding his readers of the change that God has brought about in their lives as a consequence of coming to Jesus Christ. Once upon a time, these people didn't belong. These people weren't part of the in-group. They weren't part of God's covenant people. But now, by God's grace, all of that has changed. By God's grace, they've been brought inside. They've been made a family. They have been incorporated into God's people. Initially Israel, now continuing as the church. God has claimed us for God's own. And so we are that royal priesthood, that chosen race, that holy people. But in making us and claiming us for God's own, God has given us a very particular mission. Our mission is to go out, to go into the world, to go and proclaim God's mighty acts, to tell what God has done for us, to tell other people, about what has happened to us in becoming that chosen race, that royal priesthood, that holy nation. And we are that chosen race, but not superior to or set above others, but chosen precisely to serve others. And we're a royal priesthood because we belong to the household of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But that priesthood doesn't confer on us privilege. Rather, as priests, you and I are called to serve one another, to minister to one another, and not simply to each other, but to minister to the needs of the world. The job of the priest, after all, was to serve as that intermediary, that meeting point between the needs of the world and the goodness of God, and to bring the needs of the world to God, and to bring God's healing mercy to the world. And we're a holy nation, not because of anything we've done, not because we're good enough and smart enough and gosh darn it, people like us, but we're a holy nation because God has made us God's own. And in making us God's own, God has invited us to share in God's nature, in God's character, to be holy. God called Israel to be holy even as God himself is holy, set apart from the world, but set apart for a purpose. That purpose of bearing witness to God and God's goodness and love in the world. My friends, you and I are a particular people, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, called to be rooted in the life of God, in the Word of God, in the worship of God, in the service of God. And by being rooted in those things, God will build us up to be a spiritual house made of living stones. And in that way, we serve God and God's purposes in the world. We're blessed to be God's people, blessed to be on mission, blessed to be holy as God is holy. Amen.